Thursday, October 12th. President had me in this morning before we took off for Atlanta. He was concerned again about the voter telegram because of the charges we may get on the amount of money spent and who pays for it, and the assumption that the president sent it at government expense. So he wants printed on the bottom or the back that this message is paid for by the committee to reelect the president. He had a lot of attack ideas. He wants to attack the press on the double standard, the violent demonstrations at the Republican convention, pierced tires and so on, the flyers sent out for the Berkeley demonstration, thousands of dollars of damage in San Francisco, obscenities at the Statue of Liberty, Tricia at Columbus Day. Why haven't the press picked this up? Also, on McGovern's Vietnam speech, we should get out the line, the ties say, we should get the ties to say that we would, that they won't accept a residual force if we pull out of Vietnam. They should say this now before the League of Families meets. He got into a schedule change, decided he'd like to do an hour TV deal in Chicago after the motorcade that would be with four or five press people from the Chicago press. So this would take place of a press conference. I suggested we stay overnight in Chicago, do this the next day, then go to Denver late in the afternoon, which would really work out better. Atlanta worked out very well. We had a huge crowd and great confetti and color and so forth, but it just somehow didn't have the spark of super enthusiasm that you sometimes get and sometimes don't. I don't think we did anything wrong, but that was very definitely my feeling, and I think it was his, although we got very good press coverage and reaction on it, and it was extremely successful overall. Henry and Haig got back from Paris and had dinner with the president at 7 o'clock. I went home from the airport, got a call at home saying the president wanted me at the dinner, so I drove back into the White House. We met at 6:45 in the EOB office, Colson there at the time, and the president went over some odds and ends with Chuck on reaction to today. Then Kissinger and Haig arrived, and Chuck left. We sat in the inner office. And as soon as Chuck went out the door, Kissinger opened by saying, "Well, you've got three for three, Mr. President." The president was sitting over in his easy chair. Kissinger, Haig, and I were sitting at the table. The president was a little incredulous at first and sort of queried Henry a bit. Henry started to outline the agreement from his secret red folder, made the point overall that we got a much better deal by far than we had expected. There are still five items to negotiate, but Kissinger's convinced that he can do this. The net effect is that it leaves Tew in office. We get a stand-in-place ceasefire on October 30th or 31st. They permit the South Vietnamese to hold the prisoners in jail. They have to agree to work together to set up a Council of International or of National Concord and Reconciliation, but any action by this council has to be by unanimous vote, so it can't effectively hurt too any. The ceasefire would be followed by a complete withdrawal of troops within 60 days and a return of the POWs in 60 days, so we'd have everything done by the end of the year. He then said that North Vietnam, one of the agreements is that we provide an economic aid program for 5 years. The president interjected at that point, said this is the most significant thing of all because it's a collapse of communist principle. They always refuse to accept economic aid because it admits that the failure of their system. This gives us the leverage on them. China refused any discussion of it and so on. The president kept interrupting Henry all through the discussion. He obviously was all cranked up and wasn't really listening to the details. He commented on the problems leading up to this agreement, the significance of China, the bombing and mining in his usual litany, kidding Henry some, referring to Haig a great deal and asking if he really was satisfied with the deal, because he had been basically opposed to it last week because he thought we were screwing too. Now he thinks it's okay, but he is concerned about whether we can sell too on it. I asked him after the meeting, though, whether he really honestly felt it was a good deal, and he says he does think it is. Henry kept trying to plow through his folder and all the details. The president kept interrupting on the, for instance, the point of how we handle this with Rogers. There was some discussion of that, and then back to details. The plan will be for Henry to go to Paris next Tuesday, and then to Saigon, then to work it out with Tu. He'll spend 3 days there, then up to Hanoi, then back to Saigon to report to Tu, and then back here, and we make the deal. The president injected that Haig must go with you. Henry said, no, we need him here to deal with the bureaucracy and all. And the president said, well, someone's got to go. He suggested me. I felt I should not. Kissinger said, no, it would raise too much anticipation if it were known that I was going, and also I'm needed here to hold things down. We then went into dinner in the outer office. The president told Manolo to bring the good wine, his 57 Lafitte Rothschild or whatever it is, to be served to everyone. Usually it's just served to the president, and the rest of us have some California Beaulieu vineyard stuff. The discussion continued along the same line. Then the president toasted us all. The decision was to handle Rogers at breakfast tomorrow, and then I'm to be there. Tell him that we've had a significant breakthrough on the military side, but that Kissinger has to go back to Paris next week to try to finish up the political part of it. If he gets it worked out, he'll then go to Saigon to cover with Tu. We won't tell him about Hanoi or the fact that the whole schedule is set now, with the president making the announcement on October 26th for the October 30th ceasefire. The president keeps misstating the tactics with Rogers, saying that Henry will go to Saigon to force this down Tu's throat. Henry and I keep correcting him, making the point that he's going to discuss it with Tu. Kissinger wants to be sure there's no responsibilities assigned to Rogers, because he'll try to parlay them at the State Department. Instead, let Henry line up Bill Sullivan so that he's Henry's man, and then he'll take Sullivan with him. Also, he wants to handle Alex Johnson, playing to the idea that the future of the Foreign Service depends on Johnson's cooperation on this with the president. Feels that this will keep Rogers in line and should work out all right. Then the ultimate payoff for Rogers is that he gets to go to Paris and sign the ceasefire with the Vietnamese foreign minister on October 30th, and then it takes effect when they sign it. We went around the details some more. The real basic problem boils down to the question of whether Tu can be sold on it. And if he doesn't buy it, there's no option but to flush him, because we can't turn down the offer. We're trapped now. It's too good to turn down and get away with it in this country, because they'd release it. The president obviously is really cranked up with the whole thing. Kissinger reported on the very high emotional level of the talks, and the fact that at the end of the 16 hours, no, I guess it was 14 hours of talks yesterday, that Lee Duc Tho remarked to him that the two of them had been negotiating on this for 4 years now, that they'd had some very tough times on each other and all that, but now we both sought the same thing, which was to make peace, and today we have made peace. He then started crying and came over and shook hands with Henry. The other Vietnamese also cried. Henry said that on the question of when we stop the bombing, which of course we have to do a few days before the announcement, they changed the date of the announcement 3 days after they had established a date for stopping the bombing 3 days earlier. And Tho referred to something about that, and Henry said, well, of course, we got to continue bombing for 3 days more then, which he said Tho accepted, but in a very trembling fashion. The real point is that they're really screwing the Viet Cong, because they're keeping their people prisoner and basically selling them out. Haig feels that the reason they're doing this is that they've basically given up. They have no more hope, and they're now going to try and establish friendship with us, which is what they say they want, just like our China relationship. Overall, it boils down to a super historic night, if it all holds together, and Henry now is convinced that it will. He thinks he's really got the deal. So we'll see. End of October 12th.